This is Radio EcoShock, and I'm your host, Alex Smith. Let's follow our hearts to the far southern Pacific, where a controversial Japanese whaling ship caught fire and now lays foundering without power just 100 nautical miles away from one of the world's largest penguin breeding grounds. The Prime Minister of New Zealand has called on Japan to swallow its pride and accept a tow out of the Ross Sea from their archenemy, the Greenpeace anti-whaling protest ship Esperanza. It's drama on the high seas. We'll start with a couple of clips from Australian National Radio and then News Talk ZB in New Zealand. Then, Steve Schallhorn of Greenpeace Australia joins us to talk about a possible end of whaling in the supposed whale sanctuary.
Last week, the crew on board the Nishin Maru battled environmentalists. Today, they were fighting a fire. The blaze began on the factory deck early this morning. Most of the crew were evacuated onto four other ships in the Japanese whaling fleet.
Japanese assure us that they have sufficient supplies and capacity for those ships to bring all of the crew out safely.
The 30 crew members who remain on board have now managed to contain the blaze, but a 27-year-old sailor is missing. A Greenpeace ship, which was heading towards Nishin Maru to hamper whaling operations, is offering to help.
Our ship is going to the area. We will render whatever assistance we can to the crew and to the ship.
It will take more than a day for Greenpeace to reach the ship, and it will be some time before the extent of the damage can be determined. But there are already fears about pollution.
We think there is up to 1,000 tonnes of heavy fuel oil on board the vessel, as well as many other chemicals, of course. It is the factory ship of the Japanese whaling fleet.
The Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, which is sailing both its ships back to Melbourne, is hopeful today's fire will end this year's whaling season.
Well, of course, we're very concerned about the welfare and safety of the crew members on board, but we're also quite relieved that that's put an end to this killing spree that this illegal whaling fleet has been involved in there with down here.
It's the second time there has been a fire on board the Nishin Maru. There was a blaze on the ship in 1998. Fiona Blackwood, ABC News, Hobart.
And now to Newstalk Radio in New Zealand.
Chris Carter is our conservation minister. And Minister, thank you for your time. There's no danger of this boat sinking at present?
Well, it is dead in the water at the moment. It's in one of the most extreme environmental areas in the world, as well as one of the most pristine. It's got on board some 500 tonnes of heavy fuel oil, another 810 tonnes of furnace oil, which is very toxic, plus a whole lot of other chemicals it's been using to rend down the whales, plus, of course, a lot of whale oil on board as well. So it's a combustible combination.
Okay. Do we know exactly where it is? It's Southern Ocean. How close is it to the ice, for example?
It's about 100 nautical miles from the Antarctic coast. One of the concerns is that perhaps the largest largest penguin colony at Cape Adare in the whole of Antarctica is just 100 k's away.
This is a whaling sanctuary, isn't it?
Yes, it's the Southern Whale Sanctuary, which has been a sanctuary for almost 30 years, and for almost 20 years Japan has been killing whales in it every year. We are totally opposed to that and have made that position clear, but as your listeners will be aware, the Japanese are perfectly legally entitled to, because regulations have a little loophole in it that you can take whales for scientific purposes. No one ever envisaged you'd be killing 1,000 a year. Ironically enough, Larry, no science has ever come out of the 20 years of killing whales.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether everybody does understand this. I couldn't understand why they can legally whale in a whale sanctuary, whether it's for scientific purposes. Actually, the law, the international law's useless, isn't it? It's impotent.
Well, we would certainly like to change it, but it's a process at the IWC, which Japan has a lot of friends at, of course. They've recruited a lot of little poor countries to come along and help them. But that's another issue. I suppose today we're focusing on saving those sailors and preserving the environment.
Thank you for your time, Minister. That is Chris Carter, the Conservation Minister. Joined by the captain of the Farley Mowat, Paul Watson, joins me. Paul, good evening to you. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you.
What has happened today? What have you been doing today? No confrontation with whaling ships?
No, we're chasing the Japanese whaling fleet. They're running away from us. They seem to be afraid of us, so as long as they're running, they're not killing whales.
So they're on the run, are they? What about the condition of your vessels, what the Robert Hunter and the Farley Mowat?
Well, the Farley Mowat wasn't hit, but they did ram the Robert Hunter. They hit it and put a gash in the bow and another hole above the waterline on the stern, but they also shoved us up against the ice, which stove in some plates below the waterline, but fortunately they didn't break, so it could have sunk the vessel. But the interesting thing about it is after they hit the Robert Hunter twice, they then issued a marine distress call, even though they had done the ramming, and then told New Zealand Search and Rescue that they were in grave imminent danger, at which point I reported I didn't see what kind of danger they were in, and then they left that shortly thereafter. Well, they got a good PR firm, and we got an opposition that has unlimited resources, funds, and power. They, you know, they just keep saying lies one after another. I mean, I swear, if I hit these guys with marshmallows, they'd be screaming that we injured them. The fact is that they are the criminals. They are involved in a criminal operation. They're no different than elephant poachers or bank robbers, and we're just simply trying to stop their slaughter of an endangered species in a sanctuary. Well, you know, we haven't been winning for 20 years. They killed 18,000 whales down here in the last two decades. This is a job the government should be doing. This is a sanctuary. New Zealand, Australia are signatories to this sanctuary. What is the point of having a sanctuary if you can just go down and kill whales in it? We know that they have the authority to intervene because they come down here and arrest and seize vessels that are poaching toothfish. So how is it that if you catch a fish, you go to jail, but if you kill a whale, we just simply ignore the fact that a crime is being committed? Thank you.
That is Paul Watson, captain of the Farley Mowat.
The Greenpeace ship, the Esperanza, has reached the stricken Japanese whaling vessel, the Nishan Maru, and we now go to Greenpeace in Australia for an interview done on Tuesday, Australian time. This is Steve Shellhorn on the line, the executive director of Greenpeace Australia. He's a longtime campaigner with the international organization and a son of Greenpeace Canada. Steve, can you tell us what's going on with that crippled Japanese whaling ship in the Southern Ocean?
Well, the Nishan Maru right now is drifting in the Southern Ocean, and particularly it's in the Ross Sea, which is almost directly south of New Zealand. There are two other Japanese whaling vessels attached to it. One is a supply vessel, the other is a harpoon boat. The supply vessel is providing power and other services to the Nishan Maru. As far as we understand, there are about 20 crew on board that are still damping down some of the fires and are attempting to do some repair work to the vessel.
Well, New Zealand's Prime Minister has warned Japan about being too proud to accept help. That was just today, even from Greenpeace. And he fears an ecological disaster for the Antarctic coast and especially the penguins. Is it really that serious? And would Greenpeace help a whaling ship?
Greenpeace will definitely do whatever it can to prevent an ecological disaster in the Southern Ocean. And if that means giving a tow to a stricken Japanese vessel, and in particular a stricken Japanese whaling vessel, then yeah, sure, we would certainly do that. That's a better alternative than having the ship founder and sink. It has over 100 tons of fuel oil on board, and if that were to leak into the Antarctic environment, clearly that's a disaster. I think the question is, what level of risk are the Japanese whalers and the Japanese government prepared to take in order to avoid the embarrassment of being towed by a Greenpeace vessel? And I would sincerely hope that that level of risk is quite low. In other words, I think they should accept the offer of a tow while the weather is still quite good down there and begin to tow the vessel out of the area.
Is there a chance that it might sink?
As far as we understand, from what we can observe and what the Japanese whaling industry is saying, no, at the moment it's not in danger of sinking. There does not appear to be any damage to the hull. It seems that the fire damage was inside the ship itself.
And which of the Greenpeace ships is there, and is it capable of towing a big boat like this factory whaling ship?
The Greenpeace vessel Esperanza is the one that is on the scene in the Southern Ocean. It was built as a Russian ocean-going firefighting tug. It still does have sufficient equipment on board to do a tow of this size. It has the large bollards and cleats on the stern of the Esperanza, and the Esperanza is maneuverable enough to tow a ship the size of the Nishan Maru, which has a gross weight of about 8,000 tons. The Esperanza is about 2,000 tons, which is fairly large for a tugboat.
Well, millions of people around the world will really be relieved the slaughter has stopped, at least for now, and maybe 1,000 whales will be saved for another year. Could this be the end of the line for Japanese whaling?
Well, we're hoping that this fire will be the end of the Nishan Maru and the end of the factory whaling fleet for Japan. This is the second fire that this vessel has suffered. It also had a major fire in 1998. Clearly it seems with two major fires while at sea that this vessel is not safe and it should be retired. And obviously I think that Greenpeace and many people around the world, including many inside Japan, would prefer that a new vessel not be built.
And Greenpeace International has been saying, we love Japan, but we hate whaling. What is the feeling there in Australia about killing whales in a designated international whale sanctuary?
Public opinion is very high in Australia against whaling, whether it's in the Southern Ocean sanctuary or elsewhere. But I think part of the messaging that Greenpeace has been pushing in Australia and other countries is to sort of scrape beneath the surface and look what's going on inside Japan. We've done some polling inside Japan and found that, amazingly, most Japanese don't even know that their country is whaling in the Southern Ocean in a whaling sanctuary. And when they're told that, they are opposed to it. In other words, 69% of Japanese do not support whaling in the Southern Ocean. So a lot of what Greenpeace is working on these days is to mobilize public opinion inside Japan against the government in order to stop whaling.
Well, I wanted to ask you too, Paul Watson and the Sea Shepherd Society brought a lot of publicity to this issue this year. How do you feel about his latest voyage?
Well, I think from the Sea Shepherds Society's point of view, their voyage was a success. They did meet up with the Nishan Maru and the whalers, and they were able to do a couple of actions of the type of work that Sea Shepherds set out to do.
And a minister in New Zealand said a tug may be dispatched from that country, but he wouldn't expect a whaling vessel to come to a New Zealand port, considering the government's opposition and the vocal opposition of the public to whaling. How do you see this playing out?
Well, we have the situation we have in the Southern Ocean is a whaling vessel that is in need of help, and we believe in Greenpeace that the best thing to do is to tow it out of the Southern Ocean as quickly as possible and bring it into a port. The nearest port would be in New Zealand, and I think that New Zealand should allow the Nishan Maru in order to repair damage to the ship. I think that is the safest option.
All right. Well, on a personal note, I know you were an anti-nuclear campaigner for years and have seen American warships way too close up from a Zodiac. Have you been close up and personal with whales as well?
As a matter of fact, no, I haven't. I have never seen a whale. I've spent much time at sea on Greenpeace vessels, seen plenty of dolphins and porpoises, but I never have seen a whale.
But you still love them anyway, would you say?
I still love them anyways, and I'm looking forward to my first sighting.
Well, I asked that personal question because the killing of whales drives a lot of people to despair about us humans. Do you see an end to this madness? What can we do?
I think we are getting close to the end of whaling. Again, what we find in Japan is that very few Japanese these days are eating whale meat. I think the kind of, you know, urban myth in a lot of Western countries is that whale meat is consumed often in Japan or that it's seen as a delicacy, and that's not quite true. It's certainly not true that many Japanese eat whale meat. Poll after poll has shown that it's only 1%, 3%, depending on how the question is asked, eat whale meat even close to a regular basis. Most people just eat it once a year on a special occasion. The last few years, the price of whale meat has fallen drastically. It's no longer an expensive item. It's about the same as other meat or fish available at a Japanese supermarket, and many supermarkets no longer carry it. It's very much a generational thing. It's an older generation that is continuing to eat whale meat. Again, polling shows that younger Japanese are interested in whales in terms of whale watching or as an inspiring species, similar to other people around the world. So I'm hoping that within the next few years, what little demand there is left for whale meat will disappear almost to zero, and I think the same thing will happen in Norway and Iceland. So I think the days of whaling are numbered.
You are listening to Radio EcoShock. If you've missed part of the program, you can always download the whole thing from our website at www.ecoshock.org. Go ahead and pass it on to your friends.